Man, you know, there's all kind of things going on, but it's Busted Pencils. It's producer's choice, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, minus his appendix, Jacob, producer, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. And we are, well, I don't know if I can say we are ready, Jacob. I think I might be ready, but Dr. Lupinacci
ready,
might
ready
be.
Ready for what? What are you trying to say? I'm not ready, man. I was ready.
I mean, you might think you're ready, but I don't know, man. Just a reminder, too. I mean, Johnny's back on what now? Day three after losing his, not losing. He had his appendix removed because I always like when people say I lost my appendix. I'm like, well,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's like you should find them then, because
I'm not very sorry to have had mine removed. I'll tell you that.
Well, I was just saying, though,
you was pretty upset with me on Monday. It was an exciting Labor Day, but we're back at it. Hey, we're at the end of the week, man.
We're at the end of the week, but I'm just pointing out it's been a rough week for you in the sense of recovering. And so
it's been a doozy of a week. That's for sure.
I'm typically prepared. You know, overly anxious and worried about producer's choice.
Nah.
I'm ready to go, and I'm just thinking, you know, producer Jacob, chairman of the board, you know, maybe give Johnny a little bit of a, you know, a little soft spot tonight if you can.
We're going to have a lot of fun, Tim, because we've got Dr. Lupinacci here today, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun for the folks at home.
You betcha.
And
Lupinacci.
That's the one. And I'm getting ready as the producer to put him forward for a Courage in Broadcasting Award for coming in despite losing an appendix. It's a big week here at Busted Pencils.
I tell you, every day he gets up and, you know, Busted Pencils. It just, you know, he's got to bust pencils.
Play to win, Tim. Play to win.
But Jacob,
let's do the intro
for Choo Choo producer Jacob's choice, chairman of the board.
You now have two choices,
chairman of the board, Jacob.
Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices. In
you chose.
Welcome to the Producer's Choice Show, Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. I want to remind our listeners at home that Johnny said choo-choo when he was at 100%. That was normal, Johnny. So now we're going to see what happens during this program. I think we're going to have a great time. Fellas, now that the summer is coming to a close, children across the country are heading back for an exciting new year of school. New pencils to bust, new notebooks, new backpacks. It's an exciting time for renewal and change. But there's one thing that never changes about going back to school, and that is not wanting to be in school. So, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, I know you're on the mend yourself. So today we're going to talk about those coveted excused absences that kids across the nation are dreaming of receiving in the coming days and weeks to avoid going to school. This came to mind for me because my little brother Jackson has had a very successful first week back at high school. Okay, it's his first week of high school, actually. Freshman going in. It's gone really well. But after the first day, I called him on the phone and he said, "Oh, but my stomach isn't feeling so good." I said, "No way, buddy. All right. There's no way you just happen to catch the flu as you head back to school." So I'm not falling for that. That's why we're going to talk about it here. So to start things off, Dr. Tim Slecker, did you ever fake sick to get out of going to school?
You know, yes, I did, Jacob.
We got him, folks.
We got him.
I did. You know, and in fact, sometimes I'm pretty sure that Matthew Broderick had spied on me early on and came up with the sick scene that he put in Ferris Bueller's Day Off after having watched my ruse to convince my mom that there was no way I could go to school that day. And here's the thing though, right? I did the, that sound effects you made. I mean, you know, I kind of went into the bathroom and made those very, you know, I faked them, to kind of for the effect. And I came out of the bathroom like, my, I can't do it today. And I knew she would be going to work. My dad was already at work. And I was just like, you know what? I needed a mental health day, man. But I faked being sick. She left. You know what, though? I think she knew I needed a mental health day and kind of went with it and knew that my fake puking in the bathroom was nothing but a stage show. But yeah, I did. And I think about that though, too, and saying when I would do that, it was just because it's like, I just needed a break.
Yeah.
You know, and thinking about that now, I'm like, why don't we just give kids like personal days from school that they can use? Because that's what I needed. So, yes, Jacob, I did fake being sick to miss school.
I like that idea, Tim, because I think what you said about your mom kind of knowing, you guys are parents, if you could talk to this, but I think there's always that, okay, I get it, don't make it a habit, but yeah. Just, you know, today.
Yeah, right? I mean, and now thinking about it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Luke and Lacey... Yeah, occasionally, sometimes I was like, you know what, guys, stay home today. I'm with you.
Now, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, because you came in with a hole where your appendix used to be, I'm not sure if you'd ever do this, but have you ever faked sick to get out of school?
I'm gonna say, Jacob, I'm trying to remember. I didn't, and it, you know, I'm not. It's not a moral high ground here. That I didn't. I just never thought of it. I was the oldest child, and it wasn't really an option to like opt out of what was going on in the day. I didn't do a lot of resisting the orders from above in terms of like, my mom said this, my dad said this, this is what's happening. I kind of went with the flow. Oldest child, you know, there's not a lot of room for negotiation. I definitely think it's a good idea, and I'm with Tim. Like, sometimes we need days off. Because I tended to get mine a different way, go to school and get thrown out for the day, you know? So, but I cannot remember a time faking sick. I'm also like the world's worst fake sick actor, liar guy. I mean, if you know me, you know, when I'm like telling you not the truth. So it wouldn't have worked, man. I just never really floated it, never tried it. I think I tried it a few times early on, like maybe even, I don't even know, like maybe early elementary, to not go to church on Sunday. We used to have, you know, regular every Sunday. And I think it got, again, oldest child, Italian family. I mean, there wasn't a lot of room for me to negotiate. I think my brother and sister had a little bit more room to, to try some of these things. But no, we didn't have them. And Tim, back when we were in school, they didn't have mental health days. They probably should have, right? But I wish they did, man. That would have been pretty awesome. No, but I never really faked sick. Also, Jacob, my parents had a rule where if I had to stay home from school from being sick, like I
couldn't. Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
Like, yeah, there was like, you couldn't play sports. You couldn't do activities. You couldn't do anything else. And so I was like, it just always seemed better, even, and this isn't probably the right thing, even if you're sick, just go to school. And if you really, really can't be at school that day, and this is where I say, I wish I had the option, you know, Tim, or I'd have thought through it. You know, I just find a way to get sent out of school for the day, usually an in-school suspension, because getting a parent to come get you from work wasn't ideal.
You just made me think of something though, too. On that, I think I went to school very sick lots of times because I didn't want to miss the rest of the day, because actually that rule was in effect at my house too. If you were homesick, you weren't going out for the day. But on those days where I just essentially wanted a mental health day, I was okay with going, you know what? Fine. I don't want to go out tonight either anyway. But boy, yeah, the amount of pain I would put myself through to be able to come home from school and go out. Hey, Jacob, I know that wasn't your question, but
no, just, that's good. Tim, I think, you know, at first when you confessed to your horrible crime of faking sick to get out of school, I almost felt, you know, oh, geez, is this the Tim I always thought he was? But then it turned out you've kind of balanced it out because you went in sick as much as you skipped healthy. So it kind of balances out. And you're a good boy, Tim. So I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, Jake.
Well, and I hope we get there. But if not, I got to put in a request for a future producer's choice. But man, some of the excuses I've heard over the year. Oh, yeah. My God. Dude, that could be a whole special episode.
Jacob, write that one down. And
yes. And anyway, moving on to the next question. Johnny, what are some of the best excuses you've heard from students about why they can't come in?
Oh, man. Well, I've heard them all, ranging from medical things I have actually have had to look up, like really fancy names.
You're like, what even is an appendix?
Yeah.
Not falling for that.
That could be one of them. Yeah. You know, lots of them, especially in my early years. I say teaching upper grades in high school or especially college, you know, being a younger male, I'd get some real fancy terms for menstruation that I was unfamiliar with. And I'd look up and be like, oh, what do I know about this? Is whether you can be in school during this or not. But I will say, in the last few years, and I actually put this in my syllabus and it's a whole bit I do. And I like to believe it's true because I like to believe the best that students aren't out there faking things to not be in class. But I teach class, you know, in a college and it's, you know, morning classes, 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. It's like a block. And occasionally it falls after Halloween around the Halloween and the fall or Valentine's Day. There's always a holiday. And I will tell you, I single-handedly am saving the lives of grandparents by not having class the day of or the day after a holiday. Learned this because when I have class the day of or the day after a holiday, man, you would not believe how many grandparents have passed away. And so I have followed this trend for almost 15 some years now. And I can say to my students, I'm giving you this day off in advance because I can promise you single-handedly, I am saving the lives of your grandparents if they are still living because I have a trove of emails. I started to put them all in a folder, a trove of emails that I would like to believe in a class, this many people's grandparents pass away on the day of or the day after a holiday, right? When I have class in the morning. So Jacob, nice. That's my favorite excuse, as though in a class of, you know, 70 or 80 other students, the professor may not notice that 17 other grandparents also also passed away. This is one of the go-tos. If you're a listener out there, just don't use the passing away of a relative because us professors, we're really worried. Like we're going to have to stop having class just to save lives.
Well, there you go. You know,
Tim, wow. Have you had any interesting excuses in your time?
Well, I was going to say, so, you know, teaching second and mostly fifth grade, you know, pretty much if they were sick, they weren't giving me an excuse. It was the next day, because this was also one of the requirements. Johnny, I need an excuse from you from yesterday. You were out. My dad didn't write it for me, Mr. Slecker. I'm like, well, you need to tell your dad I need an excuse because for some reason, a handwritten, poorly, legible excuse from a so-called parent went into some permanent record for the family to document that their kid was legally sick. But I had the, in college, though. Like Johnny was going to say, he took mine. I mean, the amount of dying and or, you know, some form of close to death, grandparent, uncle, brother, you know, best friend's nephew.
It gets really space ballsy sometimes.
It's just, but and like Johnny said, it was just, you know, you sit there and go like, you know, and this is more of the joke, but you know, sometimes it's going like, I'm like, this is the fourth time your grandmother died. Somebody,
like, well, she's very unlucky.
Yeah. And you do get the occasional, just really out there ones that I got to give a lot of credit to. I got one, last semester. And it was a rather lengthy email that could be summarized as, my roommate's best friend's friend broke up with their boyfriend who was cheating on them with their best friend's other friend. And I couldn't even follow it. It was like several sentences of drama that didn't quite ever connect to the student and ended with, so I won't be in class today.
Nice.
And I remember being like, this is one of those classics. Like, it was almost like it was, let's see if I can confuse him with enough directions of different reasons of why crazy things might be happening around or near me. And given that, I'm not going to be in school today. So I gave a lot of creative effort to that one. I thought that was, that deserved to me just being like, yep, excused absence. Sounds good to me.
I think he did the right thing. I don't want to get involved in this twisted love triangle by trying to find out what happened. I'm just, okay, yeah, go. Go do that. That sounds good.
That sounds like a quadruple type of triangle, though.
I mean, you get, Tim, you probably got these, especially in college, too. And I always have a hard time because I get it, but I have to hold them accountable. Like, it's March Madness. Or hey, our class goes till 6:30 and the football game starts at 4. You know what?
Oh, I got, yeah, definitely. I mean, in college, because you get the kind of like, hey, Dr. Slecker, we were all thinking. So the entire class had gotten together, and you know, this Friday is whatever it would be. We were thinking that maybe you might want to have, you know, class. First of all, downtown at the coffee shop, and then maybe be done, you know, after maybe only conducting 20 minutes worth of class. And be like, and you know what? Sometimes I was just like, you know what? You guys are kind of, you got together, you're saying, hey, I'm like, yeah, let's go to the coffee shop. Let's hang out for 20 minutes. And you can have the day off. But no, Johnny, it is. It's like occasionally, yeah, there's a football game. You know, hey, there's, you know, we all want to do something, you know, and it's just like, yeah, whatever, go for it. But I don't know. I mean, they are.
Now, the other thing with this related, Jacob, and it's related to your sound effect. I'm taking over a little here.
Yeah,
sorry.
Let's talk more about that.
That sound effect. I am thinking about the number of times that someone yacked in class.
Oh,
and that created a chain reaction. Oh, like Stand By Me. This was like, this might be my nightmare as a teacher. It was like, you know, it's difficult enough for a student who's truly like sick, right? They lose, you know, throw up in school or in the hallway. But then like, it's like that noise, which I believe was the sound effect. And then it was like, then it would be, you'd wait, like as a teacher, you'd be like, oh, no, please, please. Just don't look if you can't, like, and then you'd hear like four more go off. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. What was that movie that happened in? Was that Stand By Me?
No.
With a torrent of vomit?
I don't really remember, but Johnny, I know you're going to say that. I mean, I remember it first as a kid when one of my classmates puked. If I saw it, I was following right in their footsteps because I couldn't do it. And my first couple of years of teaching, I would literally go next door to Mr. Weakland. I'd be like, Jeff, I got a puker in there, man. I need you. Cause I couldn't do it. Cause I would puke right along with them, man. I couldn't see. It wasn't the sound. It was as soon as I saw that projection coming forward, it was like, even as you're talking and as we're talking right now, I'm getting queasy. you know,
should I play the vomit sound effect a few more times, or
you know,
like the pie eating contest in Stand By Me?
Yes.
A dirty ashtray. That was a line in a movie too, where they were trying to make somebody puke. But the chain reaction puking.
And every teacher knows, like, you're listening, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, they know. They all know it, man. But yeah. Here's the best though with the puking. You call the custodian, they bring the magic dust. And the magic dust is a tube of, I don't know what's in that, but it is magic. You just sprinkle that all over the puke, and somehow it magically sucks it all up and makes everything just right.
I don't know about just right. There seems to still be just as someone who's had to do that, because it wasn't always our custodian's job. Like, you know, he was like, here's the stuff in case you need to have to do this. I thought the cleanup was always kind of like, that's an advanced technology that I'm grateful for, but also still creates its own kind of like odor and residue that will never be forgotten.
But another big part about teaching kids is teamwork. So maybe when there's the vomit, you know, clean up, everybody do your share. Come on, kids. Let's clean up this vomit together. That's a good way to do it. And by the way,
we always made it if we could, if the weather allowed, now an opportunity to go outside and have maybe an impromptu recess or a little outdoor activity, just so I could everybody breathe fresh air before there are after tremors again, aftershocks. Could just keep going.
That's my strategy. I'm leaving the building if this goes down. Next question, if I may. I know we've been on this subject for about 16 minutes, but if I could introduce another. Fellas, thinking about those sick days, thinking about snow days, which we all love. The thing I hate most about that deadly pandemic we had is the fact that it normalized distance learning. Because I love those magical moments of getting away with not doing schoolwork when you're supposed to. So, guys, can you share with me your thoughts? I mean, what do you fellas think about the impact of Zoom and AI learning and all this work from home stuff on the simple pleasure of having a day off?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Good call there. I actually, Jacob, I think it's calming down, because I think what you're getting at is particularly like right after COVID, there was almost this kind of like, hey, no matter what time of day it is, we can always set up a Zoom.
Yes.
And in fact, if you know, why not just Zoom?
Or even classrooms that had cameras in them for hybrid setups. Like if kids were out for more than so many days, they could attend by being, you know, in the classroom through that hybrid camera connection. Yeah. I mean, there really isn't a need to have snow days anymore. Except
I need them, Johnny.
Remember we had some shows on this, Tim. We had some superintendents come in and talk about some of this way back, like right as the switch out of COVID and back to school was kind of just taken off. And they had talked about this. You know, this doesn't mean that we won't have snow days. This doesn't mean that if you're sick, you still have to join class. Like if you're really out, you should be out. And I think districts that have done that, it's been really exciting. But what it does mean, I like the best of both worlds, Jacob, because we've all been there where we've had so many snow days that now we have to tack on days into summer.
Yeah.
And so I think now there's this flexibility of like, okay, let's have a snow day. But if we start to get into that dangerous number of too many snow days, let's have, you know, like a Zoom class day. Let's have, you know, some online learning so that we can count it as a day and we're not tacking more days on into the summer.
Make your policy. We're allotting for 3 potential snow days. And then after that, we can kick in the Zoom stuff. Let's not steal from kids.
Maybe even five.
14 snow days. Right. After that, do your thing. Tim, can you sign on to this compact Johnny and I have come up with the 26 snow days?
Tim, you're muted. You're muted, man.
Actually, I'm sorry about that. Yes, you can sign me up, but I'm going to need you guys to send me that through a DocuSign document.
Yeah.
Because
generated by AI.
Yes. Well, you guys were talking about this a little bit ago, talking about people having excuses about how they want to leave for football games that might be coming up, and completely unrelated. I'm going to have to wrap this up before the Eagles and Cowboys kick off here in 25 minutes.
We got a game coming up soon.
Are you guys excited for the coming NFL season, and who are your teams?
Oh, Jacob, there's only one team.
Oh, is that right, Tim?
That's it, yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers, man. Sorry. That's all there is. You know?
Thank you.
I just want to put that out there.
For Tim, I love football season, man, because, you know, one of the things I love about fall, it just reminds me that, like, hey, we have, you know, back to school, we have fall events, we have sort of a routine to things. Like, we're going to have Sunday night football. We have, you know, really Thursday night football, Sunday football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. You know, it's football season. It's a big part of this country. We talked earlier this week about patriotism. I think it's intimately woven in, you know, to our communities and to our country, whether you like football or not, to find some way to gather with neighbors, you know, friends, family, enjoy something together. And it's kind of like, even though it's not our national sport, you know, it's certainly one of the larger cultural shared experiences we have. So I get real excited about it. Of course, I'm a big Lions fan, but I root for a number of teams. And so, you know, I'm always a Lions fan, but just love to watch football, and especially love food and community, man. So we should do a whole special show on what's your favorite food to eat when you gather to watch football. Because, man, I got so many favorite foods. I'm going to eat some tonight.
That's a good one. Yeah, as I can see you as a Lions fan, Johnny, because I think when Dan Campbell showed up and was biting kneecaps off of people, that's the Johnny method. I like that.
That's right.
For me personally, I'm a Bears and Chiefs fan. One of those is going a lot better than the other, but for a long time it didn't go well for either.
The Bears stole our offensive coordinator. Now he's a coach. I mean, I think you're on the upswing over there in Chicago. So,
Johnny, we've been on the upswing for 20 years now, and that swing never actually hits the ball. We've been missing. There's one last thing we do here on the Producer's Choice Show that we do every week, when I have these wonderful guests, Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and that is simply this.
Let's go!
Johnny, Tim, what's your favorite snow day activity, starting with Tim?
Ice skating down at the pond behind my friend's house and playing hockey all day long and putting a fire in a big 55-gallon rusted-out barrel and spending the day right there until my toes were going to fall off.
That's a good one, Tim. I like all those. I'll see you this winter. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, favorite snow day activity?
Oh, man, I think Tim nailed it. I love when we could go outside and play some hockey all day long. If you got a frozen pond by you, or if you had like a little rink in the neighborhood that someone's family made, that was always choice. But these days, man, I would say it's just like buckling in and binge watching something on the TV and just riding out whatever snowstorm there is and just relaxing because, you know, man, like we said earlier, sometimes you need a mental health day. Sometimes you just need a snow day, slow everything way down and winter it out a bit. So I love doing that.
For me on a snow day, I like to curl up next to the picture of a fire on my TV and just spend the day talking to my AI. So I'm a bit more of a modern guy than you guys, but
Jacob, you're the man.
Thank you, Tim. And with that, I think there's
now
things.
It's, you know, it's time for your moment of zen.
Yeah, it is.
And I guess this one will work out really well, according to the breaking news that we now have a Department of War. And so, quote from Howard, in war, good guys always become bad guys.
Is that true?
Yes.
They're changing the Department of Defense back?
Yes, to the Department of War.
Oh, that's so stupid. Anyway, the show is wrapping up.
I mean, yeah, man, it's good to know. Thanks for the facts. And thank you, listener, for grabbing this exciting episode of Jacob's Producer's Choice. And remember, you can always grab more podcasts packed full of all kinds of Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or on BustedPencils.com. I mean, you just find us on the internet. That's how it works. If Tim would give you any tip, he'd say, go ask AI about Busted Pencils. But don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And if you can, make sure you grab class in session next week, Wednesday. And if you don't already know, you're going to love this. Of course, you could always catch the Friday episode, Producer's Choice. But you got to tune in on Saturdays, 3 p.m. Central Time, across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.